Christmas, everybody. Now, look, let's get this out of the way right now. I've had a number of you say, my stomach's full, so I'm going to fall asleep. We can remedy that real quick. I still have my air horn back there in the office. Oh, no, it's great. It's such a wonderful time to get together. I was sharing with someone just a moment ago, don't take this wrong, but about all the services throughout the year, I think this is my favorite. You know, what you call the Christmas morning, Sunday morning service. It just the energy and the joy that is here. And of course, we know that exists throughout the year because of our Savior. Amen? Amen. This Christmas season, I just wanted to share with you a verse that has been very powerful to me, and God has been very faithful in that. Many of you I know go through the seasons, and whether it be Easter or Christmas or whatever the case may be, where there's a particular portion of Scripture that just stands out to you perhaps that year. And this year, for me, it's been out of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, when the angel was speaking to Mary and said to her, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I just thought about that angelic message that his people is all of us today. And aren't you thankful that God gave us his son to save us from our sins? What a gift. Let's just go before the Lord as we begin our worship services this morning. Just exalt him first and foremost for his gift, but also that God would speak through his Holy Spirit to each and every heart this morning. Precious Jesus, we thank you for your salvation. I just thank you for that name, that precious name of Jesus, which there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. There is no other name that has made the claims that you have. No other name in which there is power or peace or comfort or joy. But it's in the simple yet powerful and precious name of Jesus. I just thank you for that name that you have made known to the whole world. Father, thank you for giving us your Son in that manger for the purpose of dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray now this morning, this day, that our minds would be aligned with yours truly. Let us to understand that. Align our thoughts with the thoughts of Holy God. Humble our hearts before you. Clear our conscience of worry and anxiety and whatever else emotion that consumes us. And I pray that we would direct our praise towards the throne of the one true living God. We need you as we always do. We ask this morning for a portion of your Spirit to be poured out upon us, in which we have yet to see or feel. God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to have freedom to work in the lives of people. Thank you, Father. We wish to you to say, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday. And yet, when we consider that you're eternal, how many candles do we put on that cake? For you have always been. And I thank you that you are the God of eternity. You are the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. You always have been and you always will be. So we come before you this morning. We exalt you and praise you for you are holy. May you truly be exalted from our hearts and our lips this morning in all that is sung, all that is spoken. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray this. For in that name alone we ask all things. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to give you a chance to let that breakfast sink right down. So stand up straight. Stretch, and we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Think about what we're singing on verse 2. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the deity. God to man. He was veiled in flesh. It's an awesome lyric. Here we go. Like that every Sunday morning out of the box. That was amazing. Woo, is that all it took? Feed them breakfast every Sunday. All right, I heard them. You heard them, people. Hey, before Pastor, he already sat down. Rick, I'd like you to come up. And if Pastor and Becca could come up, I don't know, Becca may be cleaning up downstairs or something. Could you please come up? And on behalf of the church, we just wanted to present you, and this is all-inclusive. Everybody that has a hand in this. We just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and say thank you so much for everything you do. You know, we love you dearly. Amen. Amen. Love you dearly. And just Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just very quickly, Beck and I wanted to share something with you this morning. We're overwhelmed by the goodness of this church, by our Savior's goodness. And when we look upon what God has done here and all that it takes, this morning is a very simple demonstration example of that. You know, we're overwhelmed by that, and when we look at this and say, who are we that, you know, we should be blessed? But we never take it for granted. We certainly never expect anything from any of you other than what God's Word tells us to do. But from our heart to all of yours, please know that anything that you do, from your prayers to generous gifts and things of that nature, we're overwhelmed by that goodness. And we thank God every day for you and for bringing us here. So we wish you a Merry Christmas, and thank you so very much for all that you do for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So was anybody else's heart touched like mine was this morning when who was serving us the meal today? The entire Furches family. And we're thankful for everybody who helped prepare it, but the family was right there, the kids, everybody serving us breakfast. Wasn't that, I mean, that's a true blessing. It's a true example of the servant's heart that not only Pastor and Becca, but their great kids have too. What a blessing. Listen, I got to tell you something. I love that Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And when I'm sitting there, it smells real. It looks so real. Like it almost can smell like this beautiful pine smell. Hey, so Pastor, you mentioned that, you know, because of the big breakfast, we might fall asleep. Well, you know, that's biblical. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians that those who sleep in Christ will rise first. So if somebody were falling asleep and you start, you know, seeing people taking off, it's like, it means it's a really good message. All right, we have a couple announcements near the back of the bulletin. Wednesday night is going to be a real special service here. It's a candlelight service at 7, and there'll be dessert and fellowship downstairs afterwards. If you are able, bring a dessert to share. But it'll be a tremendous service, so it'll be great to fill the pews just like they are right now on Wednesday night. And then the following Wednesday, the following Wednesday, there'll be no clubs or Bible study, the 27th, but also next Sunday, Christmas Eve Sunday, there'll be no Sunday school classes, just a service at 9. So that's what we'll have next week. Again, remember the week after, between Christmas and New Year's, no Wednesday night program here. We have the ushers come forward, and as they do, let's stand. We got some great verses that we're going to recite, John 8:12 and 14:6. Let's go ahead and recite those together now. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 8:12 and 14:6. Watson, would you lead us in a prayer?
Our Father and our God, we do thank you that we can worship in thy house. We thank you, Lord, for our missionaries here in the U.S. and throughout the world. Lord, we ask that even this week, Lord, that they might remind those who they are ministering to that the greatest gift came on this day so long ago when Jesus came at the will of his Father to bring salvation, that all might receive the gift of eternal life. Father, we thank you for loving us, for caring for us, and just ask that you would accept these gifts that we give forth to thee. Use them to magnify thy name and glorify thy name through this area and the whole world. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherds at these times flocks of feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway the blessed babe to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. I'm going to have you remain seated for a minute. You're like, what? What? We are changing it up for a second. No, you're not going to sing from the seated position. But I just wanted to, as Beth plays underneath me a little bit, you know, sometimes it's interesting to find the origins of songs. Like, where did that that come from? Some classic that we love started somewhere. And I want to tell you a little bit about one. And it's in reference to the new blend that we sing, Shout to Joy, Shout for Joy, and Joy to the World. And it's actually the origin of Joy to the World. So listen, because this is really interesting. Two brilliant songwriters, although they never met together, created one of Christmas' most lasting songs. Each of these two musical icons ignored the established way of doing things and blazed new trails in every facet of their work. Moreover, the men who brought the song to the world were both trying to bring religious music into a new era. Since they lived a half a world away from each other and were separated by almost 100 years of time, little did either of these revolutionaries realize that their collaboration, they would create a timeless holiday classic for every age and every audience. As a matter of fact, Isaac Watts and Lowell Mason probably didn't even know that they had given the world a Christmas anthem at all. Isaac Watts was born on July 17th in 1674 in Southampton, England. His father, also named Isaac, was a revolutionary Protestant church figure in Britain. He was strong-willed and stubborn. The elder Watts, a cobbler and tailor by trade, resided in prison where his son was born. He was a criminal nonconformist, having been found guilty of teaching radical ideas that were not approved by the Church of England or established scholars of the time. At a very early age, it was obvious that the senior Watts had passed his free-thinking ways onto his son. Isaac Watts grew up worshiping at Southampton's Above Bar Congregation Church, and most British children who displayed Isaac's intellectual potential would have been assigned to Oxford or Cambridge, yet because he was not a member of the Church of England, Isaac was sent to an independent academy at Stoke Newington. There, no doubt spurred on by his father's example, he continued to display his rebellious nature. Not content to allow things to remain status quo, Watts questioned everything. He demanded to know why he or anyone else should be satisfied with the way things were, when they could be so much better. Although he did well in his studies, Isaac left the academy at the age of 20 after he had learned Greek, Hebrew, and Latin and returned home to live with his father. Like most young people, Watts found church music of the period to be uninspired and monotonous. He saw no joy or emotion in the standards sung by choirs and congregations. Yet while most of the new generation kept quiet, Isaac complained bitterly to his father about the, quote, archaic language of the Psalms sung in church. The elder Watts, never one to stand on tradition, challenged his son to come up with something better. This challenge initiated a creative burst that would not end until Isaac had composed more than 600 hymns and hundreds of other poems. You know some of his hymns. O God, our help in ages past, join all the glorious names. My favorite, when I survey the wondrous cross. At the cross, alas, and did my Savior bleed? Behold the glories of the Lamb was the first Isaac Watts hymn. It was followed by scores of others, and for a while, most of his work was met with contempt, and no one wanted new translations of the scriptures. It was actually while studying Psalm 98 and 100, Isaac was inspired to write his most famous song. In verse 4, Watts studied the phrase, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Focusing on this verse and the five that followed it, Watts penned a four-stanza poem called Joy to the World. Set in a common meter, the poem was usually sung to the tune, get this, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Yet because Isaac had dared to rewrite the Psalms, few British Christians of the time embraced the song. 44 years later, Lowell Mason was born in Orange, New Jersey, and as a teen, he directed his church choir and taught at singing schools. Even though many thought of him as musically gifted, Mason didn't see a way to make a living at it, and in 1812, a young man moved to Savannah, Georgia, and he began a career as a banker. But music hadn't left his soul. In his spare time, he also learned harmony, he wrote original melodies, and became a student of the composer Handel. With the late German composer as his influence, the banker set off a book of self-penned music and arrangements to a publisher, and when the material was matter-of-factly rejected because the American public wanted new folk music, not classical standards, Mason decided to use his talents only on weekends. He was a Sunday school teacher and an organist at his local Presbyterian church. Imagine his shock when in 1827 he discovered that not only had his music found a publisher, but that the Handel in Haydn Society of Massachusetts ordered 50,000 copies. That was a lot back then. 1827, 50,000 copies we'll take. Immediately leaving the South, Lowell Mason moved to Boston. For the next 20 years, Mason was a mover and a shaker in the New England music circles. Like Isaac Watts, Lowell saw himself as a revolutionary, and he was constantly battling the establishment with his own fresh ideas. I'm going to fast forward, but some of the songs that he wrote, one of which you'll very know, is Nearer My God to Thee. So 3 years later, in a songbook entitled Modern Psalmist, Mason finally linked one of Watts' poems and inspired the lyrics that were inspired to his tune. And this time, the people were ready to sing Joy to the World. Both considered revolutionaries and rebels, thinking outside the box, wanted to do something great. And that's a traditional hymn for us, but it wasn't traditional when it was started. Just something to think about. I'm going to ask everybody to stand, and we're going to rejoice and praise the Lord in our new song.
Yeah.
the door. Here we go. Bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. The name of Jesus, you are veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, made a baby, born to die. Lord God, thank you so much for loving us, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. Lord, we rejoice in that. Thank you so much. Thank you for the joy of salvation, that we can make a joyful noise. Lord God, for the way you created us, that we can sing, that we can sing your praises. Lord God, we just praise you and we love you and thank you for the gift of Christmas when you sent your son. Lord, thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your blessings upon our church. Lord, I'm reading some of these dates that I just read, and they're talking about the 1800s, and this church was started in 1797. And Lord God, we praise you for holding and helping us be faithful for all those years, that we can be a part in this legacy here. And Lord God, we thank you for Pastor, for his wife, for the kids, for bringing them to us, for the blessing that they are to us, for his love for you, and even for his love for Christmas. Lord God, we rejoice in you as Pastor brings your holy word to us this morning. We just pray that you'll help us have our hearts, minds, ears ready, Lord God, to hear the truth of your word and then to apply it. Lord God, this Christmas season, help us to be a bright burning light, not a flickering flame that's hidden or diminished. Help us to say those very words, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Lord God, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy, matchless name, everyone said, amen. Thank you.